Here's our series on aging in Portland. Retired or rewired? What it's like getting old in a youth-centered city. Are you up for that challenge? We'll bring you lots of views, but you'll have to answer this question for yourself. Is Portland a good place in which to grow old? This is the 11th in KBOO's series on what it's like to age in Portland. We call it Retired or Rewired. Today we're talking about the subject of health and fitness. We'll be talking with Mike Waters, Director of Health Promotion at Timber Hill Athletic Club. Mike works on healthy aging and speaks on the subject around the state. Mike maintains that exercise is a kind of medicine, and it can work on heart conditions and cancer, as well as mental health. Exercise can change our biochemistry and affect our health in fundamental ways. Mike, you refer to something called psychosocial needs in talking about fitness for the elderly. What does that mean?
Well, we get into the emotional side of when people age and what they're thinking about. So fitness, when you get older, without going into a lot of gerontology and life stages, fitness as you get older has a different meaning. As we mature, it moves from performance and physical prowess to more functionality, and then we go through the psychology of change, and we kind of go through, some people go through a grieving process where they can't do the fitness things they used to do.
Are you literally referring to grief that we feel, like the death of someone?
Yeah. Like an athlete feels when they can't perform anymore. A lot of people in that work out, you know, they do recreational things like ski or a lot of hiking. They can't do that what they used to be able to do, and so they go through this transition. And for some people, it's tough. I don't do this a lot, but at the club, I will sit down and listen to people's stories about this as they make this transition. Yeah, it's all part of the maturation process as a human being.
And what do you mean by the term functional fitness?
It's being able to, let's say, for your job, being able to move and having just enough strength and cardiovascular fitness, endurance, you know, to do stuff with your family.
Lift your granddaughter.
Well, yeah, when you get to that stage, when you're a grandparent, those things really become important because you want to be both mentally and physically available for your grandkids and that stage of life that's what's important to you.
Mike, I see guidelines from the Center for Disease Control that says that seniors should exercise in two ways. One, aerobically, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. five times a week, and two, in terms of muscle strengthening, two or more times a week. Seems like a lot. Is that realistic?
Well, it is, because it's based on a couple things: reducing risk, what we call risk factors, or now it's chronic disease, but it's reducing those risks for heart disease and now cancer. The data shows if we do enough exercise, that we can there's a high probability we can reduce those risks for those diseases. And then also, too, looking at functionality. When they looked at that for looking at older adults, and it might have been 55 and above, maybe 60 above, looking at the data, doing longitudinal study, they showed that people that exercise that much are generally more functional in their daily lives.
So you're saying there's a connection between exercise and things like cancer and heart disease. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always been there. It's always been there from the beginning, over 40 years ago when I got into this stuff. Exercise is medicine. Exercise is medicine. It's not for adults. It's not really for athletic feats. Now, some people, like myself, I'm a runner, you know, I've run marathons. Okay, well, that's beyond exercise as medicine. I'm doing it for other reasons. But when we first started this adult fitness stuff back in the 70s, it was to prevent heart disease was the big one. And now, as we've done the research, it's also preventing and even managing cancer.
I'm surprised to hear that, Mike. I was also surprised to learn to see that flexibility is not mentioned, at least in the CDC guidelines that I saw. Do you think flexibility is important?
Oh, it's critical. Yeah, it's critical.
And how do we get that?
Well, we can do yoga. Yoga is a popular one right now. You know, the old stretching programs, people can go online and access that information, or they can go to a club or gym that they might be at. They can get that from the staff. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, you can do it at a club. You can do it at home. You can do some of it at work if you're still working.
I know that you're one of the founders of a major athletic club there in Corvallis, but some of our listeners may not be able to get to a club. Is it possible to achieve the kind of fitness program at home that we need, that we're talking about today?
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. And especially with the websites and YouTube, and there is a ton of free program information, videos people can look at to do home-type exercise. The home exercise equipment market is huge. The equipment's good. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for people if they just want to do it at home and you know, they don't want to drive to a gym or a club.
Is it possible to get a home fitness program without investing in a major walking machine or running machine or rowing or any of that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can go on various sites online. You can Google home fitness program. You can really delve into this and get a lot of free information for a personal home fitness program.
You really got my attention when you said, I think you said, exercise is medicine. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've told me that there's lots of boomers, baby boomers, that's people born after 1945, who are not doing well. They're suffering or beginning to suffer from chronic diseases, and exercise is the medicine that they need. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That can really help reduce inflammation. That can, again, these risk factors for heart disease, and we add in lowering blood pressure, cholesterol levels, balancing glucose, because we know diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is huge with boomer population. It can balance that blood sugar. And again, too, we can still do this and work with the medical system. We can work with our physician group. We have a number of people, boomers at my club, that are taking a medication, but they're also exercising. So it can be done with both. You can work with the doctor, and you can work at a club or have a personal fitness type program and make this work. So, but it is important. And most doctors today will say, yes, exercise is very important to impact our biochemistry. It's our biochemistry where a lot of these health risks take place. And exercise is paramount in balancing our biochemistry.
Mike, do we have to worry about over-exercising?
We could. I mean, there's some people that just, you know, sometimes my running life, I've overdone it, get injured. You can overdo it metabolically. There are some things here. But, Tom, I got to be honest, in whole population, that's not an issue. That is not an issue.
We're not worried about over-exercising, huh?
Yeah.
I get you.
We would like more to see more of that, but we don't. We see too many sedentary people. Even in Corvallis, being a healthy community that it is, we have a lot of sedentary type people who are not even thinking about doing health in their daily lives.
Mike, I've heard that Corvallis is a popular retirement place in the same way that, say, Bend or Portland is. Why is that? Do you know? You must meet a lot of retired people.
Yeah, usually college. In our case here, you know, we have a big university, and usually college towns across the country are retirement destination because we have arts, we have music, we have a lot of what I call holistic type wellness things besides the fitness part. And people that are retired are looking for those kind of things because they have time now to take advantage. There's hobbies and
sure,
and a lot of great things like that.
Folks, you heard it here. Exercise is medicine. Mike Waters, Timber Hill Athletic Club. Mike, thanks for joining us today at KBOO.
Oh, my pleasure.
And here's the City Parks and Rec staffer, Lauren Hunter, talking about the city recreation locations and programs.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
And Lauren brought in a book, Activities for Senior Recreation, Spring, Summer 2018. It's about 60 pages, and it's packed with things to do. Lauren, give us an overview of your program.
So senior recreation, we kind of have split into two large pieces. One big part of my job is helping all of our big five community centers that you may or may not be familiar with. So we have Mount Scott Community Center, East Portland Community Center, Southwest Community Center, St. John's is one of our smaller ones that we have classes at, Charles Jordan Community Center, and Matt Dishman.
You call them Big Five because they have swimming pools?
They do. Charles Jordan is one of the only ones that doesn't have a pool. We still consider it a Big Five. Their Columbia pool is very close by, so we kind of link those together.
These look like they're pretty well spread around the city. In addition to these, you have other smaller community centers. Tell us about some of those.
We do. I was mentioning St. John's earlier, and that is a smaller center. They have some senior classes like, we do Tai Chi there for seniors. And we have Woodstock Community Center that does like a Writing Your Memories class. And we have Selwood Community Center is a really neat little historic building. They do crochet, and they have a Portland Lace Society meetings there, which I didn't know we had a Portland
cool.
Lace Society, but we do.
Lauren, tell us how many users do you have of these facilities? How many older folks actually
sure.
use these
yeah.
places?
So citywide right now, and I'm going to break this down by gender because there is such a big difference between men and women. So citywide, our active participants right now over the age of 60 are at 7,225, and that's for men. So then women over 60, we actually have 15,000 women. So our participants definitely it is a female heavy that you'll find, but we do definitely have men who go on our trips and participate in our hiking program as well. So it's not just women, but quite a few more.
So you had 7,000 and 22,000 people, and these are people over 60.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You define elderly as over 60?
Well, we say right now we're using the term seniors, and that may change in the future. I'd like to have it be lifelong recreation, open to all different ages of adults, but right now, as defined by the city, it would be 60 and over.
Okay. So tell us about your programs in general. What are the general types of programs that you offer?
Yeah. So at our sites, we're doing all kinds of exercise classes, art classes, all kinds of one-off classes like our wonderful writing programs. And then our senior recreation program that I run specifically has three different arms. We have the very popular van program. This year, we're up to 40 trips a quarter. Actually, summer, we're going to have 42 trips scheduled to take folks out from the city to go all kinds of places, museums, wineries, the Oregon coast, the gorge, Salem to the Arts Festival, all kinds of wonderful places.
And Lauren, these are van trips that leave from different community centers, right?
They do. We try to vary all around the city, different locations. Anyone is welcome to sign up for those, but we try to make sure that folks at all different parts of the city have access to those. So if you're not a driver, if you are taking the TriMet bus or walking, that you can get to a close center and find a trip that'll be fun for you.
Good. And these trips have costs associated with them. Roughly, what does it cost to go on a van trip to, say, the shore?
Sure. Our beach trips tend to be the longer days, so I would say those are kind of more of our high range. They're going to be in the $50 $50 to $60 range. We do offer scholarships for those. We do up to a 50% scholarship, and in some cases up to 75% off of those prices. And then for local trips, like if we're taking you, say, to a museum locally here in Portland, some of the trips can be more in the $20 range.
Cool. I see here, just real quickly, the Columbia Gorge Interpretive Center. These are some of the van excursions. The Hilda Klager Lilac Garden, the
we have lots of garden tours coming up, for sure.
Queen of Angels Monastery. There's just like a whole bunch of these. Native American Cultural Center Tour, Mystery Thrift and Lunch, Forest Grove. You also have a big hiking program. What's that like?
We do. Our hiking program, I feel like, is the jewel in the crown of parks and recreation. We have a largely volunteer-run hiking program. We have one dedicated staff who is an amazing 20-hour-a-week person. His name is Dennis Jones, and he helps set up the wilderness hikes and hikes for health. So how it works, we have three levels of difficulty. We have our Metro Movers. Metro Movers are $5 a hike and a walk. They're 2 hours long, and they're here in the city. So they're going to be everywhere from, like, walking along the riverfront. You may be going to a park area, things like that. And then we're going to have our wilderness hikes. That is the highest level. And in between there, we have hikes for health. Those are six-hour hikes. Wilderness hikes usually run about 8 hours.
So you don't have to be an athlete in order to go on a Metro Movers hike. Just have a good long walk. Although if you are very fit, you can go on one of these wilderness hikes, which takes the entire day.
Absolutely.
You have volunteers that help you with these kinds of programs. What's that program like, the volunteer program?
Yeah, we are so thankful for our volunteers. Parks and Recreation has a huge amount of volunteers. Overall, last year we had over almost 300,000 hours, clocked hours of volunteer time for our recreation division. So that's not even going into Forest Park, fixing trails. This is just purely recreation, which is amazing. For us right now, during this year, we already have clocked about 3,000 hours. We have about 48 to 50 regular volunteers that come in and work in the office. They help drive our vans. They're highly trained volunteers. They do the hiking program. They're just terrific. And I would say overall, we use a year over 100 volunteers, and those might be for more one-off things, but we have a really tight group of volunteers that are amazing. And we're always looking for new volunteers.
Cool. So I guess there's some sort of training that you put volunteers through in order to make sure they know what they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. And I would have you call Volunteer Services. And can I give that phone number?
Yes. Give a phone number.
Yeah.
Please.
So Volunteer Services is 503-823-5121. And if you are internet savvy, you can also go to portlandoregon.gov/parks/volunteer.
Cool. And many of our older folks are very internet savvy.
Yeah, I would say yes, although we do get a lot of calls from people that get a little frustrated when they aren't able to access. When they call in and they have a question and someone just says, hey, just look online, and they think, well, I don't have a computer or I'm not using a cell phone.
Okay, those are the most popular programs, the van excursion, the hiking program. I'm looking at the guide, and there's all kinds of other fitness programs, including some cool things like Qigong and Tai Chi Today and Yoga and Chairs, which we Zumba Gold Fit.
You know, a lot of our exercise classes, you don't need to be, you don't have to feel intimidated. You can go try it out. They can start and stop at any time. So you're going to have folks in a class that are maybe brand new and kind of learning the ropes and maybe are going a little more at their own pace, which is great. And you may have people doing it for years that are really working up a sweat.
Lauren, you told me that you get some program income. So far this year, it's $83,000. Is that right?
Right. That's where we're at so far for our revenue. But mostly our money comes from the general fund.
And that was, what, $250,000? So we're getting some income, but it's most of what is programmed here is covered by the general fund.
Yes, that's correct.
can anybody in the city, any elderly person, come into one of your programs? I mean, I know there are fees.
Yeah.
There's membership in some of these in the organization, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, equity inclusion is very, very important to our program. And so we work very hard to, through scholarship, to be able to get everybody involved. So if there are things that you feel are, you know, can't afford, or if there are prices that are too high, we have a pretty robust scholarship program to help you with those things. So anyone can join up and do that. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is people's different physical abilities. So we have lots of ability ratings on our trips that will say, okay, this one is great for folks with a walker. This one will be terrific to go on if you are using a wheelchair, or, and there are a few that maybe wouldn't be such a great match for you. So there's a lot of things for people to do of all abilities.
Lauren, you published this booklet. How does one Activities for Senior Recreation, paper book.
Yeah.
How does one get a hold of this?
Well, there's a couple ways. So you can always give us a call at Senior Recreation at Portland Parks, and our number is 503-823-4328. Let us know that you'd like us to mail you out a catalog, and we can do that. We can add you to our mailing list. You can also go into your local community center, and they should have one stacks of those there for you. We also send them out to Multnomah County libraries and doctor's offices, lots of different places you might find them. But give us a call and we'll mail you one. You can also see a virtual version online if you go to portlandparks.org and go to Senior Recreation page.
This may be out of your pay grade. Is the city Recreation Department ready for the tremendous growth that we're going to see in the elderly population over the next 10, 20, 30 years?
I mean, that's a great question. I think everyone, the county, the city, the state, we're all asking that question. We have a little ways to go, but we're definitely focused on seeing those. We know all those boomers are retired and retiring, and we would like to make our program more robust and get some more programs going.
Lauren, is there any stories you want to tell us about interesting things you've seen with the elderly people in this program?
Sure. You know, I was thinking on the way over here, I was talking with a participant, and you said that earlier that you had gone to Hollywood Senior Center, which is a center that isn't part of Parks, but we partner with them and we have classes there. And I received a scholarship from her along with a wonderful letter. And she just said, this program, she does a card making class. She meets once a week there. And she said, this is truly my only social time that I am able to sit with my peers. I do a fun craft. She loves the cards she makes. But really, the most important part is that social piece. And we know there's so many studies that show that for just having that health, it's going to be physical activity. But really, that social piece is so key. And that is where recreation comes in.
We got to beat that isolation, folks.
Yeah, really, really.
It's the biggest, it's one of the worst diseases you can get, is social isolation. It'll take years off your life.
Absolutely. And I think senior recreation, that is like one of our number one things to offer to healthy Portlanders and to make Portlanders healthy, is to get that social piece for our seniors. And that's why we have these wonderful hikes where you can get out, make new friends. We have so many people that come to the hiking program that say, hey, we're new in town. We want to hike, but we have to meet some people. We need some friends. I mean, this is the way folks do it, you know, or signing up for a painting class, or, you know, and these people will go on and take these classes on and on, and it really becomes a great social time.
Lauren Hunter, thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to talk about it. So thank you for the opportunity.
We're going to conclude this episode on health and fitness with a quote from one of our favorite athletes. But before I say his name or his most famous quote, I'll tell you just a little about his life. His date of birth is unknown, but he grew up in Mobile, Alabama, and may have earned his nickname working as a porter at the train station. He grew up loving baseball, but had no training in the game until age 13, when he was arrested for shoplifting, and he ended up in reform school. His first baseball coach taught him the high leg kick that became a trademark of his pitching windup, and he won a professional baseball contract only a few years after his release. This was in the days of segregated baseball, and he started off in the Negro Leagues, where he quickly became a legend for his pitching ability as well as his theatrical qualities, long before professional athletes brought the kind of attitude that we see today. Fans fell in love with his famous windmill windups, relentless trash talk, and leisurely strolls to the mound. His best season came in 1934, when he went 14-2 in league games while allowing only 2.16 runs per game. He had 144 strikeouts that year and gave up only 26 walks. On July 4th, he threw his second no-hitter. He struck out 17, and only a walk in the first inning and an error in the fourth inning prevented it from being a perfect game. He claimed his most famous stunt during a Negro League World Series game in 1942 when he intentionally walked two batters so that he could face power hitter Josh Gibson with the bases loaded. He taunted the hitter by warning him about where he intended to place each throw and then struck him out in three pitches. He went on to play in the majors in 1948, a year after Jackie Robinson, playing first for Cleveland, then St. Louis, and then Kansas City. He entered the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1971. What made him so memorable was his longevity in the game over a 40-year career. He rarely answered questions about his age, and when he did, he replied with something like, "Age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." The man was Leroy Satchel Paige. And the quote of the day is his question. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? In the next episode, we'll be talking with Ann Hill and Dr. Marion Hodges of the Providence Health Center. The two have written a series of books for healthcare practitioners and families about caring for patients with dementia. You don't want to miss this. You've been listening to our series on aging in Portland, retired or rewired. You can listen to any episode in this series or the entire series if you go to kboo.fm and look for the show under my name, Tom Flynn. Thanks for joining us today.